coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report for today. It's Thursday, April 9th, 2020. Truth can't be silenced. Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. We're not going to be silenced, no matter how hard they try. It's interesting, the headlines, of course. Just look at the headlines. Again, 17 million 17 million Americans unemployed at the present time. It's, the numbers are all over the place, but it's coming up at 17 million new, 6.6 new claims, more than 16 million in 3 weeks. And this obviously is because of the Communist Chinese Party virus, or ostensibly because of that. We have new social distancing laws, rules, regulations, masks, regulations. You get caught throwing a ball, even if you're a police officer, and you know, with your son in the park, you get arrested and fined. Very interesting. You've got governors, and even more importantly, mayors turning into Gestapo. Or turning to Gestapo-like tactics, Stasi-like tactics, is pretty interesting. I showed a video clip from yesterday of Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles. You know, hey, snitches get rewards. Isn't that great? 1984 in 2020, to be sure. I'm going to start off with a CBS Twitter video. This is in New York. Now, you've seen this perhaps. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. It doesn't matter. But this is coming to a neighborhood near you. I've talked about drones in the past. I've talked about the fact that we were under surveillance by drones. But now they found a new use in this coronavirus, this Chinese Communist Party virus theater that we find ourselves in today. Take a look at this video. Oh, hang on a second. I'm ahead of... I gotta say, I'm sorry. I sent him a video embedded by CBS News and Twitter. So, hey, you gotta go through a couple of extra steps. Having said that, how are you doing, Eric the Tech? I know that you can't really.
Doing good.
Yeah, doing good. I'm gonna get him on camera one of these days. Don't worry. I will. He's kind of the shadowy figure in the background, of course. You know, we need surveillance assets. He's one of them for gaslighting people, right? Yeah. You know who I'm talking to. Yeah. Cause I gaslight people. All right, check this out. Try it.
The anti-COVID-19 volunteer drone task force. Please maintain a social distance of at least 6 feet. Again, please maintain social distancing. Please help stop the spread of this virus. Reduce the death toll and save lives. For your own safety and your family's safety, please maintain social distancing. Thank you for your cooperation. We are all in this together.
We're all in this together. Please maintain 6 feet social distancing. Did you see that? That's a drone, of course, New York City. And, if you don't, by the way, hang on. I got it right here. Former police officer arrested in park for throwing ball with daughter due to coronavirus social distancing rules. This in another part of the country in an incident caught on video. Former Colorado State Patrol trooper said he was handcuffed in front of a six-year-old daughter on a near-empty softball field. Why? Well, they were enforcing distancing rules, and he was throwing a ball to his daughter. And Matt Mooney, 33, told ABC News that he was walking with his wife and daughter from their home to a nearby park this past weekend, just having a good time. They weren't near anyone else in the next closest and unrelated person was 15 feet away. Police arrived shortly thereafter, telling him and others in the area to leave because the park was closed. Okay, that I understand. If you're going to close a park, it's their property, fine. Well, we pay taxes for it, but hey, it's, you know, so what, right? So, Mooney, the man who was arrested, the former state trooper, said that he was familiar with the posted rules, believed that he and his family were in compliance, practicing proper social distancing from others. He said he refused to provide his identification when officers asked for it because he had not broken any law. Take a listen. This is a former state trooper. Well, they didn't like that idea, so they proceeded to make a threat against him by saying, if you don't give us your ID, if you don't identify yourself, we're going to put you in handcuffs in front of your six-year-old daughter, stating, of course, what they're going to do. Newfound actions, or newfound authority, or power, I should say. And there it is. Social distancing. Michelle Malkin, yesterday, had a great article. Michelle Malkin column. In fact, if you have it, you can put it on the screen. If not, don't worry about it. This week in Colorado, she writes, the statewide stay-at-home order was extended until April 26th. The governor urged everyone to wear a mask of any kind. Eric's in the office, actually, playing with my microphone. I can reach out and touch him. Sorry about that. You didn't like the way that was positioned, did you? Okay. No, if you could have seen that. Anyway, local groceries. Groceries are limiting customers to one every... grocery stores, one every 120 square feet inside the store. And she goes on to explain about the irrational, arbitrary, and kooky guidelines unevenly applied, not just where she's at, but all across the United States. So, you know, all of these are little bits and pieces of information that are out there. All right. I'm not here to read headlines. I'm not here to read news. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to figure out, you know, what's going on, connect some dots, use some investigative and research skills to kind of provide information, not kind of, but to provide information to you. And all of these little bits of pieces and of information are part of the mosaic. All right. There's a couple other things now that Eric's back at his spaceship station there. Should notice how this has been adjusted. That's so I don't pop my peas and pop my peas. Yeah.
So we can hear you.
Thank you. I already addressed the unemployment claims. That's swelling from swelling to 6.6 million. Again, up 3 weeks, 17 million, hitting the U.S. economy, which is being paralyzed. This, of course, Fox Business News has got that. And so you sit back and you look at all of this. What is going on here? And I had the opportunity and pleasure to listen to and take part a little bit of Coach Dave Dobmeier's huddle this morning. And he really hit some good talking points there. What are we going to do about this? Well, hold that thought. Hold that thought, because Coach Day was right. You know, we can talk all day long about this. We can analyze, you know, but we have to do something about this. We have to act upon this because, you know, without action, talk is cheap. Talk is really cheap. And I agree with that. But some more background as we get to that. Okay. Then what are we going to do about this? Well, we have to understand the situation a little bit clearer to see who's behind all of this and what's really going on, especially now where people are starting to drift off away from the press conferences. And I fully understand that, but there's some meat in these press conferences that I'm going to draw your attention to. By the way, second hour today, Steve Quayle. So hang in there. All right. There's another issue here. You're talking about enforcement. Again, related to the Communist Chinese Party virus, businesses loses license. 9 others under investigation in San Benito County. Now we're talking about a place in California. Hollister Mayor Ignacio Velasquez confirmed that Smokey Pete's Smoke Shop had its business license revoked after illegally operating during the stay-at-home order. Now, that's San Benito, right? Did I get that right? That's where that is. So I picked up the stay-at-home order from Los Angeles County. All right. Now here it is, right here. This is the actual order, and we talked about this yesterday. with Garcetti talking about snitches and rewards. But this is the actual order, executive order from the mayor of Los Angeles. And I was looking at this. This is with respect to the safer at home mandate, executive order. Now, if I squint, tilt my head, I somewhat understand the theory of these self-quarantines or mandated quarantines or stay-at-home orders. I get this. If I squint and kind of maybe, you know, just struggle, but I kind of understand. There may be this bit of authenticity to the intent. Wow, you brought that up pretty doggone quick, and I didn't even give you that link. Thank you, Eric the Tech.
You sent it the other day.
I did?
Yeah.
I'm better than I thought there. But Eric the Tech, what a wonderful man, by the way, and a talented guy, and he's got some great things. He's planned some great things. By the way, Eric the Tech, I got to throw this commercial in there. Eric the Tech, he's the guy that designed the coffee bags, designed the coffee boxes, designed the cups, designed everything you see right there over, I'm pointing. Well, let's see. I got to point right. He designed all that. He is really a master. And he designed the store, HagmanStore.com. You can even look closer at the design if you so choose. And the t-shirts but I think some of these might be, the coffee is still good, folks. I'm going to say this. If you want coffee, get it now. Are we still having that 10% off because, or no?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. All right.
We forget what the promo code is though right now.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I can check. We'll announce it later.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Sorry for putting you on the spot, but, we had spoken to the importer of the coffee and the roaster. These are well-sourced coffee beans. This is gourmet coffee. Anyway, three types of coffee, the Revolution Blend, because we are in a Revolution Patriot Blend, because we are all patriots and Detective's Choice, because, well, that's what I wanted, and that's hyper-caffeinated. And you get K-cups, your choice of K-cups, the whole bean or ground. But you know what? He designed all that, and I have to say that without him, I'd be lost. But anyway, back to the city of Los Angeles order from Garcetti. All right, so I'm looking at this. And I'm looking at similar orders from around the country. But this one really kind of grabbed me a little bit. Nothing, again, against the San Benito, California situation. Keep that in the back of your mind. But this one here, this reads as if I lived in Los Angeles, I couldn't come out of my house. I mean, that's the way it reads. And I asked somebody else to read it. I said, what'd you get out of this? If I had a nice backyard with an in-ground pool and a gazebo and, you know, open gazebo, could I use my pool? And, the way this reads is, well, if you've got neighbors, not really. Stay inside your house. This goes beyond the pale. All right, why did I even bring that up at this point? Well, again, because you got snitches telling on people and at the request of the mayor of Los Angeles. But it's something a little bit different than just, you know, stay away from other people, kind of self-quarantine, use your judgment, use your head. This is more of a tyrannical type of an order. And many of these other orders are kind of getting up to that same level, including the Fox story that you just had on the screen before, the business loses license, nine others in San Benito County. So what they're doing is they are enforcing these particular they're enforcing the stay-at-home orders, shelter-in-place, or whatever you want to call it. I'm not even sure what to call it. And businesses are being shuttered by the laws that these executive orders. that if you listen to yesterday's show are unconstitutional. You cannot stop someone's trade in even under these circumstances. You can't shutter businesses for violations of an executive order based on the interpretation of a health emergency. Now, there are exceptions to that, and you can get way into the weeds on this, but that's the bottom line. All right, so with all of that said, all of these pieces of this puzzle, all of these pieces just flying everywhere. And if you, and I guarantee you this is the way it is. If you ask a dozen people on the street what their understanding of what's going on, either nationally or maybe even locally, you're going to get a dozen different answers. You're going to get various, interpretations of what's really taking place. And every YouTube channel, with the exception of those who investigate, go really deep into investigation, ask for evidence, bring forth evidence, not just reading headlines. Anyone can do that. But when they investigate, Amazing Polly, great channel. Dana Ashley, used yesterday, great channel. Support them. Subscribe to those channels. They're doing the investigative work that the mainstream media is too busy, because they're too busy striking out at Donald Trump. They're not doing the work of true journalists. But I digress. So when you look at all of this, so what is going on? What is this all just a hype? No, there's definitely a virus out there. Where did it come from? Well, did it come from the United States? Oh, well, some will say, and I might add, without the appropriate evidence, it came from the United States, or it came from a lab within the United States. It came from Canada. It came from Canada and the United States. It came from, but the release point, it's obvious. It's apparent. The release point, ground zero, Wuhan, China. So, all right. So having said all of that, this brings into account now the World Health Organization and the CDC, all of a sudden, and I'm not going to use this term lightly, people are saying medical martial law. People have talked about martial law for a long time, especially on the right over the decades. Oh, it's going to be martial law pretty soon. Well, when you look at what martial law is, of course, the definition of martial law, as defined, we're not there yet. Medical martial law, again, as defined, we're not there yet. But it's pretty doggone close. All right. Now, does that count? Yeah, I think it does count because I think there's a lot of social experimenting going on. So with all of that said, I want to give you some more data points, and then I want to kind of tie this up with a video, very well done video, that involves some of the central players in all of this. Historical and present. And again, this is important. I was going to do my own report on this, but I figured, after looking at this one, let this one tell the tale, because I think it's really good. But if you go to Eric the Tech, if you go to the 37-second video, Fauci, it's under the banned one. Fauci giving a signal of approval during yesterday's press conference yet again. And I think that this is extremely, extremely telling. Remember, he gave a signal of approval a day or two before, because the news reporter brought in that Chinese asset. She asked some questions, and there was some sparring between Donald Trump and that Chinese asset reporter. At the behest of an American reporter, and that's why you have Donald Trump saying, hey, the media is the enemy of the people. Not just me, but the people. And he's right. So if you have that queued up, there's a 37-second video of the garden gnome Fauci. And I call him the garden gnome. Hopefully that would stick. #garden gnome. I don't know. How does that work? But hey, let's, if we can, let's play the 37-second video from this from yesterday. Having some fun with that. The garden gnome, gesturing, of course. I got lectured in a YouTube comment. Hey, it's a finger gun. Haven't you ever seen that? You know, okay, whatever. So there was a kind of a gesture of approval initially with Carl, the reporter, John Carl, and that had to do with, again, the, Chinese, Communist Chinese Party media asset in the briefing room. Fauci, gesturing his approval to John Carl, who made that happen. And then yesterday it was to Jim Acosta for a fiery exchange. And it's very antagonistic there as you see Fauci, the garden gnome. And thank you, Kevin and Matt and Kevin, who spent a lot of time on that garden gnome picture. We have it. We should use it. If you got it, there it is. Kevin did that. There is Tony, hey Tony, the garden gnome. In fact, I am going to commission someone. We have a rose garden here at the Hagman Manse, the Hagman Estate, the vast estate of Doug Hagman. Yeah, but I'm going to get a garden gnome for the south lawn, or is it the west lawn, or the south lawn? I don't know, north lawn. Anyway, I'm going to put him up there. So I began to ask questions. Who's Fauci? Who's Burks? Where did these people come from? Before, you know, before COVID-19, obviously, Fauci was around. He's big in AIDS research and such. Burks as well. Then, of course, the Surgeon General, but push him aside for a moment. That's a cabinet position. All right. Let's look at Fauci and, Burks for a moment. Well, this brings in not just the CDC, but the World Health Organization. Where is all this stuff coming from? All these mandates coming from? It's the World Health Organization. Well, who, and again, pun intended, who is the World Health Organization and why are they here? Well, the World Health Organization is just that. This non-governmental agency, organization. Hang on. I don't want to be accused of any kind of, I don't want to be accused of, being wrong here. So I'm going to type in World Health Organization and let's see what comes up here. So just to be clear, and many people know this. So about us. Let's go to about us. We can do this together. Who we are. Oh, pretty pictures. Aren't the pictures pretty? The World Health Organization started with when their constitution came into play back on the 7th of April, 1948. My goodness, what is that? That's almost an anniversary. 2 days ago, it would have been, help me do the math. What is it? 80 years, maybe 28, 70. Oh, you can figure it out. April 7th, 1948 is when they were established. And every year since then, it's been World Health Day on April 7th of the subsequent years. They have now more than, thank you. Look at that. Same thing I'm looking at. Isn't that great? 7,000 people from more than 150 countries working in 150 country offices in 6 regional offices, and they're headquartered in Geneva. All right. And you can go through their constitution and their history and such. And I think it's important to do just that. But if you've noticed, and as Eric is going through that, as you've noticed, there is tension between the office of the president, that's President Trump, and the task force that is being spearheaded by Fauci, by Burks, and others. And they're all have something in common. CDC, WHO. In the contentious interviews, you saw Fauci siding with the deep staters, WHO and CDC, if you will. And Donald Trump had just recently come out with some pretty interesting words against the World Health Organization. He had stated that the U.S. is the single largest contributor to the World Health Organization. Now, hasn't that always been the case? Whether it's the United Nations, who's the biggest contributor? NATO? I mean, who puts in the most, who's got the most skin in these games? It's the United States. President Trump shows up as president on the scene saying, you know what? We're going to have to take a look at where our money's going, whether it's the UN, whether it's NATO. NATO, you're not doing your share. UN, what's this? Hey, you know, why should we be paying the bills? Now it's the World Health Organization. But it's interesting because the United States is the largest contributor to the World Health Organization. Its assessed contribution is 22% of the total members' assessed contributions. The U.S. pays considerably more than the assessed contributions and additional voluntary contributions. In other words, yeah, we give you what's required, but a lot more. All right. Now, the WHO, the World Health Organization, not the group, but the WHO is funded not only by nations, but also by nonprofit organizations. Guess who? Guess, just take a wild guess. Anyone who doesn't know this, put your hand down. Anyone who doesn't know this answer already, take a wild guess of who the second largest contributor above the United Kingdom is for the World Health Organization. Anyone?
China?
No. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
What?
Ding, 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 ding. That's right, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They are the second largest contributors to the World Health Organization above the UK and just below the United States. Let me quote this exact, just to be exact. After the U.S., the next three largest World Health Organization funders in 2018-2019 were the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Gavi Alliance, that's G-A-V-I Alliance, and the United Kingdom. So you start looking, okay, what's the Gavi Alliance? You know who I keep bumping into? Bill Gates. Every time I turn around, it's Bill Gates. All right. So to give you some context, and this is what I want to do, give you some context in the, with respect to the press conferences that you're not watching anymore because, it's boring. Yeah. You know. Attention span. I've had enough of that. So to give you some context of this and why everything seems a little bit contentious is you got a president saying, wait a minute. We're going to have to take a look at this funding here because there's a whole lot wrong with what I'm seeing. Okay. After President Trump came out with some statements against the World Health Organization, and when I say against them, taking them to task, the World Health Organization kind of hit back. There is a video, the next video, 323, World Health Organization hits back at Trump with this message. Now, this the length of this video is just over 3 minutes, but although they don't really, it doesn't really directly name President Trump, you know who they're talking about. If you can run that, go ahead.
The focus of all political parties should be to save their people. Please don't politicize this virus. If you want to be exploited, and if you want to have many more body bags, then you do it. If you don't want many more body bags, then you refrain from politicizing it.
The WHO, that's the World Health Organization, receives vast amounts of money from the United States, and they were wrong. They've been wrong about a lot of things. And they had a lot of information early, and they didn't want to do very, they seemed to be very China-centric. They called it wrong. They missed the call. They could have called it months earlier. They would have known. And they should have known, and they probably did know. So we'll be looking into that very carefully. And we're going to put a hold on money spent to the WHO. We're going to put a very powerful hold on it, and we're going to see. And they seem to err always on the side of China. And we fund it, you know, so I want to look into it. I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but we're going to look at it.
You did say
that. We give a tremendous – no, I didn't. I said we're going to look at it. We're going to investigate it. We're going to look at it. But we will look at ending funding. Yeah.
Well, first off, they just work for China, Communist China. First, they said on January 14th in a tweet that there was no evidence that there was human-to-human transmission. Lie. Then they said, like I think on the 20th or something, China's doing a great job. Lie. If they had done their job, everybody would have gotten more ready. We wouldn't have shut down this economy, and we wouldn't have all these people dead all over the world.
And another piece of this is the WHO needs to stop covering for them. I think Dr. Tedros needs to step down. We need to take some action to address this issue. It's irresponsible. It's unconscionable what they've done here. We need to bring manufacturing home of all the things that we've been relying on China, our medicines, our medical supplies. They also hold $1 trillion of our debt. I think that should be forgiven. And we need to look at addressing the WHO as well. We have all sorts of levers in our power. China needs to be held accountable. Right now, we need to save American lives as well and make sure that we defeat this virus, which we will with the American spirit and innovation. But China has got to be held accountable. They still keep lying and covering up today.
Let me be clear. This declaration is not a vote of no confidence in China. On the contrary, WHO continues to have a confidence in China's capacity to control the outbreak. We should have actually expressed our respect and gratitude to China for what it's doing. It has already done incredible things to limit the transmission of the virus to other countries. And where respect is due, then you don't punish.
And there it is. All right, so that was a video primarily of the World Health Organization's head, Dr. Tedros, whose actual name is Tedros Adhanom. Good Lord, I don't know how to, I don't know. Throw me a, I would like to buy a vowel, please. I don't know. But he goes by, seriously, he goes by Dr. Tedros. When he was elected or positioned as to head the World Health Organization back in 2017, there was a lot of controversy surrounding him. He was accused of covering up three cholera epidemics where he's from in his home country, which is Ethiopia. All right. That was when he was health minister of Ethiopia. Now, there are other aspects to this guy that are not very, they're pretty indicting as to his character, his abilities, and even his intent. But yet, that didn't stop him from getting the position of the head of the World Health Organization. And during that time, he used his first name, Dr. Tedros, as opposed to his full name, which I can understand because you can't, I don't know, he'd have to, his name tag would be about a foot long. All right. So anyway, that took place. He was nominated in, or appointed in, on May 22nd of 2017. And again, he is now accused of being China-centric, hiding a lot of the actual numbers, a lot of the misdeeds of communist China, etc. So there you have that. All right, this has not escaped Congress. While everything else is going on and not going on, Congress is saying, "Wait a minute here." There are Republicans in Congress who are saying, "Wait a second. Let's defund the World Health Organization. We see how they've behaved with this novel coronavirus or the Communist Chinese Party virus. We've seen how Tedros has behaved with this. We see, of course, the World Health Organization. They're getting tons of money from Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the second biggest funders to the World Health Organization. Some may say, well, that's being a good philanthropist. Well, it depends on the objective of the World Health Organization. And as we see, and the reason, again, the reason I show you these little signs, these gestures by Fauci, in and of themselves, they're meaningless. They would mean nothing. But when you see this full frontal assault against the president from the media, stooges of individuals from the World Health Organization, I might add, then the pieces kind of begin to fit together. There is this war going on, this war for control. Oh, allow me to implement medical martial law, if you will. Allow us to rule. And that's what's happening here at the cost of what? Capitalism. This is a full frontal assault against capitalism. And by the way, this also is, in my view, an act of war by China. Why? Without firing a shot, they were able to take out a naval carrier, a naval ship. Without firing a shot, they were able to get into our military and sicken many members of our government. And who knows? And let me ask you this. Who knows at what point this virus will, have its end? Is this a one and done kind of thing? Or does this have like extra payloads built in? And don't forget Gates, as well as Tedros and others associated with this mix of conglomerates supporting the WHO, were actively involved in SARS and AIDS and HIV research and all of this, and developing what? Developing what? Say it with me. Vaccines. And what's behind the vaccines? A lot of money, but also the objectives, and some might disagree, but I think it's there, of this eugenic kind of, eugenics is a genocidal kind of objective, based in eugenics. Let's look at this very quick video here, I think, of the Republican resolution calling for the defunding of the World Health Organization until Tedros gets his butt out of that chair. Go ahead. Oh, we got to cue that up. But again, understand who, pun intended, is funding the World Health Organization. And the World Health Organization, by way of Tedros, covering up the crimes, misdeeds of the communist Chinese. The media bringing in communist Chinese media assets, communist party assets, into the briefing room to ask questions and to spar with President Trump. All right, let's take a look at this.
Health Organization now facing growing criticism over its handling of the coronavirus pandemic. Jillian Turner is live in Washington with more details. Good morning, Jillian.
Good morning, Ed. So the World Health Organization is now facing mounting criticism, not just from U.S. officials, but from a lot of the international community about their handling of this pandemic. The organization, according to sources here, are telling me that the organization has spent much of the past few weeks playing up China's achievements and looking the other way, essentially, as they continue to underreport numbers of cases coming out of the country. Now, the WHO's Director General, Dr. Tedros, also facing mounting mounting pressure from lawmakers to step down over his alleged role helping the Chinese Communist Party downplay China's responsibility for the pandemic. Take a listen.
They need to come clean. And another piece of this is the WHO needs to stop covering for them. I think Dr. Tedros needs to step down.
Former Michigan Rep. Thaddeus McCotter says the WHO is corrupt beyond repair and called to defund the organization yesterday on this program. Take a listen.
Three strikes and you're out. When you look at what they've done to help the Chinese communist regime conceal the true extent and nature of the coronavirus outbreak, they've lost their objectivity, their accuracy, and their credibility.
There he is.
One key voice, though, Dr. Anthony Fauci, is jumping to Dr. Tedros' defense, even though he panned President Trump's China travel ban back in February.
Tedros is really an outstanding person. I've known him from the time that he was the Minister of Health of Ethiopia. I mean, obviously, over the years, anyone who says that the WHO has not had problems has not been watching the WHO. But I think under his leadership, they've done very well.
So Dr. Tedros gave a press conference yesterday. He didn't address calls for his resignation or this mounting criticism of the WHO. And though a lot of sources pointing me to this study out from the University of Southampton in the UK that reports they have found the virus and the spread globally could have been mitigated by up to 95% if China's government had just taken action 3 weeks earlier. An astounding, astounding figure. More public health officials are now
absolutely
looking at.
All right, Jillian Turner, thank you.
Thanks for that. All right, so you can see the timing of this as well. This is really interesting. If the World Health Organization is a cover, a front, if you will, for Communist China, Communist Chinese Party, and think about the timing of this novel coronavirus, this release. Think about the timing. What were the headlines right before this? President Trump had done a lot to offset the imbalances with respect to tariffs and trade with China. That, of course, hurt China. While Clinton, the Bush dynasties, as well as Clinton and Obama, while they bowed to China, President Trump comes in and says, no, we need to even this out. We need to bring manufacturing back to the United States. We need to have a solid structure here, manufacturing structure and manufacturing base in the United States. We can't depend on China making 95% of our antibiotics, 80% of our pharmaceuticals. We can't allow that. Plus, the trade imbalance is just it's just out of this world. And once those deals were evened out and in the process of being evened out, this happens. Now, is the timing coincidental? Look, I don't know. I certainly raise an eyebrow with respect to, you know, the timing of all this. All right. So I'm going to tie this up. Banned Video, InfoWars, did a good job about showing who Bill Gates is. Because Bill Gates is an American citizen. He's a billionaire or a gazillionaire or however million, I don't know. He's got a lot of money. He's got more money than I do. You and I combined, all of us combined, I guess. But how is it that he's funding the second biggest funder of the World Health Organization? And what are his motives? Is it just because he's a philanthropist? And lastly, will a look at Bill Gates give us an equally bigger look at the prime objective of what we're seeing happening today? From the former police officer, retired police officer, being arrested for throwing a ball to his daughter in a park, to the business closures, to orders like this from Los Angeles, to the new phrase social distancing, to the fact that Fauci says no one's going to open anything up until no one should open anything up until, you know, the last case is done, the last person is dead, the last death is recorded. So what's the philosophy behind those pushing this agenda? Greg Reese did a great job with this next video. And hopefully this will wrap this up, because this gives insight, historical insight, and a present look, I think, at the objectives of the people behind those making the decisions, the organizations making the decisions, the people who are funding the organizations. I think this is a really good video. If you haven't seen it, you're going to like this. And if you have seen it, it's worth watching again. Here it is. This is from Band Video.
400 years ago in ancient Greece, Plato discussed the importance of population control. Aristotle advocated the use of abortion and infanticide. In 1798, an essay on the principle of population was written by Thomas Malthus. He outlined the idea of positive checks, which are diseases, wars, disasters, famines, and genocides. Malthus believed that these things should be utilized to increase the death rate, and believed that human misery was an absolute necessary consequence. In 1859, Charles Darwin published The Origin of Species. In it, Darwin only hinted at the implications of human populations, but his cousin, Sir Francis Galton, became obsessed with the idea. In 1883, Galton published Inquiries into Human Faculty and Its Development, wherein he wrote that his intention is to touch on various topics more or less connected with that of the cultivation of race, or, as we might call it, with eugenic. The term comes from the Greek word eugenis, of noble birth. In the early 20th century, eugenics became an academic discipline in universities. Organizations were formed and funded to win public support. The Kaiser Wilhelm Institute and the Cold Spring Harbor Institute rejected the idea that all humans are born equal, and began selling the idea of cultivating a new master race of noble bloodlines. Planned Parenthood was formed in America by racial eugenics advocate Margaret Sanger. President of IBM, Thomas J. Watson, established a special subsidiary in Poland called Watson Business Machines to assist in the Nazi invasion of Poland. This business continued throughout the war, and IBM managed the entire operation from their headquarters in New York. During the Nuremberg trials, the Nazis quoted U.S. Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes in their own defense. They claimed that their eugenics program was being run from the United States. The Nazis were rightly admonished for war crimes, but not Thomas Watson. He went on to create the IBM World Trade Corporation and passed IBM on to his son. His granddaughter ended up marrying Margaret Sanger's grandson. Bill Gates' father worked on the board for Planned Parenthood, and his mother worked on the corporate board for IBM, who Bill partnered with to create Microsoft. With no medical background, Bill Gates then went on to become the world's foremost pusher of vaccines and population control. Do you think this is all coincidence? The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funds the WHO, the NIH, the CDC, and the UN. And now he is saying that until we get mass vaccinations, we might never be able to gather in groups.
And which activities, like mass gatherings, may be, in a certain sense, more optional. And so until you're widely vaccinated, those may not come back at all.
The president's coronavirus response team are all pushing the Bill Gates vaccination agenda. Dr. Fauci is on the leadership council for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. In January of 2017, Anthony Fauci told a crowd at Georgetown University that there would be a surprise outbreak during the Trump presidency.
There is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic infectious diseases in the sense of already ongoing disease, and we have certainly a large burden of that, but also there will be a surprise outbreak.
Deborah Birks is a board member for the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria, which was founded by the Gates Foundation and known for millions of dollars of fraudulent misuse of funds. In October of 2019, Bill Gates sponsored Event 201, a simulation that estimated 65 million people killed by coronavirus. In November of 2019, the Pierbright Institute, funded by Bill Gates, was granted European patent number EP3172319B1 for a coronavirus vaccine that may be used to treat humans. Today, Dr. Fauci says the virus will keep coming back, and he says the ultimate game changer will be a new vaccine. In Australia, the Prime Minister is telling people the shutdown will last months, that it's the new normal, and that the only way out of your homes is to accept the vaccine. There is no proof that vaccines are the answer. In fact, the CDC admitted in federal court that it does not have studies to support the claim that vaccines do not cause autism. A top UN scientist admitted that vaccines are killing people. It is time to do some hard thinking. Will you allow your government to impose forced vaccinations? For Infowars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Amen.
6 years,
amen.
Alex Jones and InfoWars have been sounding the alarm for patriots worldwide, waking people up to the New World Order, Bohemian Grove, the American Deep State, the rise of Communist China, the plan for global depopulation, and global elite pedophiles who prey off of our young. The enemy has done their best to destroy us, but because of your support, our fight continues.
Okay, that's good. Band video, band.video, that's the place to go. That was a great report. I figured I couldn't do any better, so I would urge everyone to go to band.video. Check that out if you haven't seen it, as well as all of the other videos there at band.video. Now, in closing, so where are we at? You can see the deep background into Bill Gates. You can see the deep background into the objectives of the globalists, both on the right and on the left. This is not a political statement. This is a globalist good guy versus bad guy kind of thing, or bad guy versus good guy kind of thing. And you can get a picture of the players here, I think. I think the players now are becoming obvious. And again, we're not talking about any specific political party. However, the weighted bad guys are on the side of the left, the tyrannical left, those who want to keep their thuggery, jackbootedness, you know, on jack boots on your neck, the Garcettis of the world, the other mayors, the other governors. And all the people who are pushing this, we have to shut down and we have to destroy, or we will destroy America's economy. Remember the late night comedians, Bill Maher and others, saying, you know what, I hope for if a recession or a depression is the only way to get out of get President Trump out of office, then I pray for that. You know, that mentality. All right. So drawing back one step further, I don't have the video for this, but I would urge everyone to check out Amazing Polly's videos. I'll put a link in the program description box to her channel. She's done a lot of great research because let me just make sure here I've got the appropriate, all right. When you look at the coronavirus task force that has been assembled, you've got Vice President Pence heading this up, but you also have the deep staters, if you will, Deborah Birx, Anthony Fauci. They're close ties now. If you follow the ties, they're close ties with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, to the Global Fund, to the World Health Organization, and another organization that popped up that should be the focus of additional scrutiny and research. known as PEPFAR, P-E-P-F-A-R. Anthony Fauci, the garden gnome, worked with a guy by the name of Mark Dibel to establish PEPFAR. Now, that's an acronym. Just keep that in the back of your mind. Georgetown University, and also a woman by the name of Maeve Kennedy McCain. Does that name sound familiar recently? Have you heard that name recently in the news? Oh, that's right. She's dead. She's dead. She just died. You know how she died? They were playing ball. It's one of the Kennedys. And her and her son were playing ball in the yard near the ocean. And the ball went in the water. So they get in a canoe. Now, this is what, April? Yeah, April. They get in the canoe to go after the ball that's in the water. This is the story. And their bodies were just, well, Maeve Kennedy, her body was just found. They haven't found the boy's body yet. But they were all working together. And by the way, Maeve Kennedy is related to Robert Kennedy Jr., who's anti-vaccination, but I digress on that. And she spoke out against Robert Kennedy Jr. about his position on vaccinations, forced vaccinations or otherwise. But all of these organizations are related. They've all got the same people, whether it's Fauci or Bill and Melinda Gates. Oh, and Maeve Kennedy also has ties to, of all people, Dianne Feinstein. You know, the same Dianne Feinstein who had a Chinese driver. But I digress again. It's easy to do so. But look at PEPFAR, which is the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. That's the acronym for that organization. It's a U.S. government initiative under George Bush, George W. Bush, back in 2003. A lot of money through that organization, some $80 billion in cumulative funding for HIV and AIDS treatment prevention. And, of course, for what? Let's say it together. If it's prevention, cure, what's the next thing to tie it all in? Vaccinations. That's right. PEPFAR. It's an interesting tie, interesting nucleus to all of these other organizations of globalists. You see why there seems to be some contention between President Trump and the World Health Organization? Keep your eyes on this. Those boring press conferences may not be too boring in the short term, in the coming days. I hope that made sense to you. Let me know in the comments section. Please subscribe. Hagman Report YouTube. Let me know. Send me an email, studio@hagmanreport.com. I read them all. God bless. Coming up, by the way, I almost signed off. Eric, Texas. Not time yet. Coming up is Steve Quayle. Stay right where you're at.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Radio Network.
I was going to start using hand signals, sign language. Forgot to turn the microphone on. Welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReportLive.com. That's where you'll find all of the audio, video, all of the videos that we do. All three shows, actually. This show, Keith Hansen Radio Show, as well as Good Gun, Bad Guy Show with Dan Wass. There it is on your screen right there. You can reach out and touch it if you want. But seriously, they're all there. The recent episodes, the other shows, and popular segments. That's going to be repopulated, or has been repopulated, I should say, to reflect the most current popular segments. But there it is, right there. HagmanReportLive.com, also HagmanReport.com, and Hagman Store, where you can buy the best gourmet coffee. Hey, you want to get hyper-caffeinated? Get the Detective's Choice. You know, we used to use phone books in the interrogation rooms, right? Not anymore. Just drink a cup of that, and you'll get the truth out of them. I need the bean, the coffee cup, and, of course, the King Mascot mug. Also there for the throwback to the old style for those who like the iconic German Shepherd King. And that is actually based on an actual photograph of King, the iconic dog for the Northeast Intelligence Network, K9, Northeast Intelligence Network, acronym 9. K9, of course, dual meaning there, King mascot mug. But the coffee is great, and proceeds go to Russ Dizdar, his organization, Shatter the Darkness, Shatter Intervention Unit, as well as Craig Sawyer, actual boots on the ground people that are fighting human and child sex trafficking. We thank them for what they do. All right. We're still trying to get Steve. I should have mentioned the last segment. I should have mentioned this about PEPFAR. Remember George Bush's compassionate conservatism? Their Laura Bush, their interest in AIDS research, Africa. There's something about this PEPFAR deal. PEPFAR is termed the cornerstone of U.S. global health efforts. It's on April 4th of 2014, so that's some 6 years ago. The woman, the scarf woman, next to the garden gnome, that's Deborah Birx, she was sworn in as U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator and currently holds that ambassadorship position with PEPFAR. And it's all of this sounds really good. Oh, my goodness. Just give me, by the way, give me a yell in my ear when he's there. I'll have to send a drone out for him. But there was a reauthorization of PEPFAR back in 2008. And when you start looking at these different non-governmental agencies that are acting in concert with the government, you can see that there's this agenda at play. What Greg Reese had uncovered about Bill Gates, his lineage, the ties to the agenda, to eugenics and such, what appears to be very philanthropic on the surface, whether it is in Africa with AIDS and HIV research and such, has a very dark side to it. And that dark side is both agenda driven and greed driven. There's the money component, the dollar component to it. And then of course there's self-enrichment, that is. And then of course there's population control. And regardless of what one might think is being a conspiracy kooky nonsense, look at the stated goals of people like Margaret Sanger. Look at the stated goals of people, including but not limited to Bill Gates. And I received an email. You know, Bill Gates was part of a TED talk, and he made a statement that was later expunged. The talk was taken down, and there was a statement reportedly expunged from this TED talk where Gates stated his use for vaccines in population control. in the context of population control. So again, there's this very dark side to what we're seeing. How does it apply to the United States? Well, obviously, shuttering businesses, closing businesses down, granting this tyrannical authority or allowing this tyrannical authority to be used by the mayors and by the governors and such. Do you think for one moment that once this crisis is over or declared over, however that happens, do you think for one moment that things will look the same? No. Will all of the businesses magically reopen? And out of the 17 million or so unemployed individuals here in the United States, will that suddenly be reduced to pre-COVID numbers? No, 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 and no. So the damage that has been inflicted and continues to be inflicted by the globalists, we're seeing the beginning of the fourth quarter of this football game, if it were a football game. We're seeing them taking a look. If I had to kind of even break this down into more basic talk, we're seeing them taking a look at the economy under President Trump, at the numbers, at the all of the advancements toward American exceptionalism made by President Trump, the trade deals being righted, corrected by President Trump, especially with China. And we're looking at, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, they've got to do something. What other arrow in their quiver do they have? Could they pull out to possibly tank President Trump, who remained upright despite surveillance on him and his family, unauthorized surveillance? Remember that, the FISA abuses. Remember the intelligence community coming after him. Remember all of this? Hang on, I'll get that. Should turn that off. So none of that. None of those things worked. I mean, they failed to take down President Trump. And some will say, well, President Trump, it's obvious he's compromised. He's on the wrong side. He's working against us. Well, if that were the case, I would see a lot smoother, transition than I'm seeing right now. Right now, as I showed you, just the little things that people have taken note of, and I as well. The little, hey, good job kind of signs and gestures by the deep staters to the facilitators. You take a look at this. It really all kind of makes sense, doesn't it? At least in my view, it does. So Donald Trump is out there, and he's often said, look, you know, I'm just in the way. They're after you, meaning us. The globalists, the members of this deep state, are they're after us. I'm just in the way. So I don't think it's that much of a, I don't think it's that much of speculation. I don't believe it's speculation at all to say that Donald Trump is in fact one of the outcasts of, in other words, he's not part of the deep state. He was an unexpected impediment of the objectives of the deep state, and they've thrown everything they possibly could at him. Now, of course, he's fighting this greatest internal issue, and that's the what they call this pandemic. It is, I mean, think of what Obamacare did to 20% of America's economy and the healthcare system, taking a pristine healthcare system and turning it on its head. Donald Trump had erased much of that legacy from, to the best he could without congressional assistance. But you see where all this is going? So now, to me, at least, I'm looking at this in the most simplest of terms, in the most logical of terms, and looking and seeing, okay, There's a war going on internally. We're watching it. We're seeing it take place. We're seeing some of the things that are happening. We're seeing the opportunities. As Rahm Emanuel says, never let a good crisis go to waste. You're seeing that the tyrannical actions of Garcetti and other mayors and other politicians implement these draconian measures, these 1984-like measures. You saw that at the beginning of the first hour. You saw the drone, CBS News, drone, New York City, separate, get away from one another. They're weaponizing, and that's not for necessarily the public good. That's for enforcement. That's what we're seeing today. All right. We do have Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, my good friend and fellow defendant. My good friend Steve Quayle, again, from stevequayle.com. Folks, if you haven't done so already, become a member of the Q-Files 2.0. I'm telling you right now, it's worth the membership cost. The membership cost is less than two cups of coffee a month from Starbucks or your favorite coffee shop. It's absolutely incredible. Go to stevequayle.com and check out the books and also the DVD publications, the video publications. You won't be sorry. Steve, how are you, sir?
Good, Doug. And again, I apologize for being a little late, but I think it's critical in all the times you and I've been on together and we've talked about the things that would be, the things that are. And I think people need to understand, Attorney General, Barr said today that China's been the issue is a major issue. And one of the things I really probably is the most frustrating thing for me in the world is to get people to understand that what's going on right now with the whole coronavirus, the biological warfare attack, not only on the United States, but on the world. Remember this, the Chinese are on record as saying they have no qualms about killing every man, woman, and child in America. That is their destiny. It is obvious to me that there is no truth tellers being given the screen time of Fauci and Birx or whatever that lady's name is that are telling people the truth. You can identify a bioweapon by looking at it and running on the genetic test. And you can see with CRISPR technology, which is a scissors-like device that you can, you can splice in. That's the best word. Splice in HIV. You can splice in Ebola, smallpox. And this is what we're dealing with. And this is why they're going, oh, gee, people who have built up a natural immunity are coming down with it. Once again, they're not. That's a lie from hell. They're lying devils, in my opinion. This is a secondary bioweapon. The Chinese war doctrine dictates that they will release three bioweapons with the shortening incubation period, Doug, and then they do the big dirty. They do what everyone has been concerned with for decades. They'll take on a hemorrhagic fever / rabies, compounding of those rabies viruses and the hemorrhagic fever, Ebola, if you want. And the thing is that you're seeing now different places of the world, people exhibiting, you ready for the Z word? Zombie-like behavior. And isn't it interesting? The number two bioweapon and number three bioweapon are Z2 and Z3. And I want to deal with the horse manure numbers. It's like idiots can't even do adding two and two and two. If the United States has the death rate that we have with one-fifth of the population and the control we have that we started at least earlier than the Chinese, how can anybody believe the Chinese numbers if we've got satellite photos of massive amounts of human remains going in the upper atmosphere? We've got satellite photos of mass graves. We've got what I would call, again, horse manure multiplication that's dividing. And people believe the biggest liars in the world are telling us the truth. And by the way, if you look at who controls the New York Times, follow their debt to who owns it. China has the four largest banks in the world. And all of the debt that some of these billion-dollar and multi-billion-dollar businesses and corporations were able to get into is purchased by the Chinese. If I own your debt, Doug, or you own my debt, or we're indebted to somebody else, they're going to dictate the words of our editorials, I guarantee it. the fact that the, now the Christians are being blamed in the New York Times editorial that we're responsible for COVID-19 because we're anti-vaccine. That is the biggest painted targeting of Christians by the most evil, wicked people on the planet. And that is my opinion. The thing is that if the Christians do not wake up and understand that we are being vilified, we're going to be forced into taking a vaccine or not. And if you don't take the vaccine, everything will be taken from you. Look at Bill Gates already putting that whole thing forward that no one should be able to assemble in groups. How about the Christian churches? Well, I want to say this to every Christian church, every pastor that's meeting, every fellowship that's meeting, start making plans to go underground. Start asking God for direction and guidance, because the only churches that'll exist will be those that have sold out to the powers of darkness. And Doug, we're now in the most dangerous, heinously wicked period of mankind's existence, and still people want to sit around and play, what is it, rosy posy or tiddlywinks or whatever. Or they want to play with words, and they want to say, oh, those guys are just fear-mongers, blah, blah, blah. Where are they coming from? It's simply this. The ultimate pinnacle of deception is in the land. And when people are in the reception of deception mode, it takes a move of Almighty God to break through it.
Amen to that. So what we're seeing, just to be clear, and I like to kind of take a barometer reading just to make sure I'm on this proper page here and in the, even in the right stadium, let alone the right game. This novel coronavirus, as it was initially named, and then COVID-19 for the politically correct, but for in reality, what this is a communist Chinese party virus. The ground zero was in fact Wuhan in China, and it's been around probably since November, December, although the dates, I mean, the dates are a little bit off. The first U.S. Documented patient was on January 15th. This is in fact, without a doubt, based on the genetically altered structure of this virus, the SARS delivery system, the HIV component structure delivery system, no doubt a bioweapon, number one. Number two, a bioweapon, kind of a gift that keeps on giving through different iterations or different strains, if you will. Three, as you mentioned. And,
yes.
Okay. So just to be clear, that's all. I think that's pretty well settled, even if some of it cannot be, proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. I do believe it's real. So, okay. So the end game objective here is the destruction, is really the destruction of everyone, except maybe, 5% of the population. I think you had mentioned the destruction of the killing off of everyone except that percentage of elite. And we're in that period right now. And we have to do something right now. And we are spectators right now, though. We're watching businesses being shuttered. We're watching mayors exercise tyrannical control, shutting businesses down, putting people in jail. This is all an artifact or a consequence of this act of war from China. Is that kind of in a nutshell, what we're saying?
It is. It is, and it's the globalist plan on a community level to start locking up, locking down, and keeping anybody that could resist away from each other. Here's the thing, Doug. We're seeing the vilification, the nullification, and the complete destruction. How about a father going to jail, being put in jail for playing T-ball in his yard? And I mean this, may the people in that community rise up and demand his release, because the shooting's going to start pretty soon. The food riots will be what I believe is going to be the trigger point.
Yeah.
Already now, the information I'm getting is the food control at the warehouses. People can go to my alert, Doug, and you more than have my permission to post it. What's happening is even the stocks that are put into deep freeze or any type of, refrigeration for use later in the year, they're being used up already. And if you notice, ladies and gentlemen, that even Walmart and the stories we used to post and talk about, and people said that's just conspiracy theory. Amazon, here's what I was told by a business executive halfway around the world. Amazon put Walmart effectively out of business. So they were smart and they sold all their buildings for use to certain entities in the American government and the American military. For, get it? Guess what? Prisoner processing plants, re-education centers, and don't let it be told. And Doug, I could give it to you. You probably know or have somebody know, but you know, the guillotines are back, brother. They're being readied. And I'll give you an eyewitness report. I think I may have posted, if I don't, but you're welcome to post it, of somebody with majestic level clearance. Now, I know when someone says there is no such thing, that they are COINTELPRO and they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Okay. That's the ultimate allow you access to anything. And the person that gave me the story was involving him who had that access and taken to a place in the Midwest and shown the guillotines. And when he asked the commanding officer of that, even he named the city, etc., he said, what? Let me tell me this. Who are these things for? And here's what he said. Those who will not accept the new government or are willing to recant their faith. I have no reason to make that up. And by the way, Doug, when that first stories went out 20 years ago on talk radio, I had a friend, his first name is Louis, he was a test pilot for Boeing. His brother, who I knew because they were believers and I had fellowship with him when he was a young kid, I was older, and his dad. But his brother was a longshoreman in the infamous Long Beach longshoreman incident when crates full of guillotines were broken open on the docks. And it's fascinating, isn't it? Who was the first group of people to talk about cutting people's heads off in a political sense? It was Bernie Sanders supporters, okay?
That's true.
But and what people don't understand is the revolution, okay, and the guillotine go hand in hand. So I am trying by the grace of God and only by his anointing and appointing, and obviously you allowing me to speak to the listening audience, can I get through to people, and I can't, only God can, the absolute meaning of the book of Revelation, the end times of those who were beheaded for the testimony of Jesus. And the thing is that the plan is if you don't toe the line, the demonic New World Order line, and how dare Bill Gates of hell, that's what I call him, Bill Gates of hell, talk about if you don't have proof that you don't have the virus, and oh, by the way, we need a biometric identification genetically typed to you, you're not allowed to meet in groups. And who has the vaccine? How did Mr. Gates know that this thing would be released at this time and say, quoted on different news feeds that he's been busy building multi-billion dollar plants to produce the vaccine in numbers? Ladies and gentlemen, it goes to what I said years ago, shot in the arm, shot in the head. Either way, they want you dead. I'm sorry, Doug. I don't know if.
Yeah, sorry about that. It was on my end. I was actually reaching for one of your books, of course, about where we are today. And by the way, you've been ahead of the curve, on this for the last 20 plus years. Are we seeing right now how I typify this or classify this, describe it? Is we're not seeing the end. We're seeing the beginning of the end, much like the beginning of the fourth quarter of a football game. Is that kind of where we're at time-wise, do you think? And one more thing, anecdotally, I got an email from someone who noticed your hourglass on your desk and the sand had gone all the way down. And she wondered, the emailer wondered if that was just to signify that really time is up. So that was
yes, and kudos to the person who's at observation. The one of the prophecies the Lord gave me, and again, I'm not a prophet, but if you go back on my prophetic words given to Steve over the years, it's up on top left hand side, and God literally says it. So, Doug, I keep that hourglass behind me to remind me that there's no more time in the left because the mystery of time is fleeing away. And even when it wasn't empty, the top chamber, I'd tell people there's very little left, very little left. And I think the Lord is so wonderfully gracious because, again, when I started a quarter of a century ago on talk radio, shortwave, even I think a couple of years before I was on the internet, or I'm sorry, I was on the shortwave before the internet became a deal you could broadcast on, that I was talking to people about the events that would take place that would absolutely precede the tribulation times. And again, I'm not going to argue with people. There's people well known, and I think bloody, some of them are just absolutely scoundrels saying, well, this can't be the start of tribulation because the church will be raptured before the tribulation starts. Wrong, wrong, wrong. And right now, Doug, as you and I are on the air on your program today, which is Thursday, and I'm just making sure I'm with you, April 9th, that some of the most powerful occultists in the world are working ritual literally ritual magic, in the Cascadia region. In other words, they're there on site, calling on the gods of old to open up literally the fountains of magma. Now, some people don't believe that, but you never get into antiquity without understanding the volcanoes. And by the way, isn't it interesting that even in the islands of Hawaii, that the point is that they sacrifice human beings into the volcano gods to appease them. Across the world, Doug, I get reports daily of people seeing flying saucers. Probably my good friend Bill in Florida is always saying, Steve, look at Popo, and you'll see stuff coming out of Popo, you know, flying saucers. You're hearing the natives, speaking about, for instance, we sent a film crew a number of years ago down to Guadalcanal in the Solomon Islands. And the natives would take them to a place where they're just flying saucers are seen all the time. That was basically a human alien underwater base, and they're all over the world. But right now, I think it's critical because and this is what I want to share with people. In my movie, Cascadia, the big one, and I want people to understand that. Not me, non-Christians are saying if the Cascadia fault line experiences a full margin rupture, 8 million people will die. Doug, I didn't make that up. 8 million people will die. And now the University of Southern California and some of the other global seismic sites are specifically talking about, everyone, the fact that activity is increasing. And in, I think right now is up to 2,600 earthquakes on the California-Nevada border. And if I want people to look at that. And if they see that image, maybe I can get it to Eric before we sign off. But if they see that, it's like the entire west coast of California and the entire east coast of the California-Nevada border, the entire southern part of basically the Mexican border from the coast over to the desert, Borrego Springs, Palm Springs, et cetera, and then up into Nevada. It's like it's perforated. And when that event takes place, multiple earthquakes. And by the way, the one in Cascadia is 300 years overdue. So in Cascadia, the big one, I also take on the fact that it's not Yellowstone. Yellowstone has been the most, I would say this, overused diversion. I even know people that are scientists that have never been there, yet they know everything about it, and they're sure it's going to go. It's wrong. 60-70% of the geologic features there. It's the biggest, if you will, hydrothermal area on the planet, but also has 10,000 plus vents. So it's like a pressure cooker. If you don't have a vent, you know, the steam, you got to let off the steam. Right now in the area of Ridgecrest, again, California, 7.1 earthquake on July 5th, 2019. Now we've got massive amounts of earthquakes there again. And that's where the magma is moving from the super volcano that it was under that whole area, which interestingly enough, China Lake, the Naval Weapons Warfare Laboratory there, it destroyed the whole military base, one of the most expensive, most extensive military bases, including its underground facilities. So the point is that we're in a time unlike any other. And I used to have behind me before I took it down and put up the lion, because when I have that lion, it always reminds me of Jesus is coming back as a lion. He isn't coming back as a kitten. I mean, no disrespect to our Lord, but unfortunately, most people forget that Jesus is a lion of the tribe of Judah, and it comes time for, quote, men of God to stand up for God, somehow their battle cry is meow, meow, meow. Go ahead, Doug.
You know, no, I've gotten quite a few emails too about the picture, your picture of the portrait of the lion, and correctly identifying what that is about. So many people are watching, you know, like here. I mean, a lot of people, you know, watch what's behind us and try to discern reasons for, you know, why we have things. And that's very good. And I think that's a great reminder. Now, on your Q alerts today or yesterday, I just want to make sure that people cover this. Folks, go to stevequayle.com and click on, you'll see on the top right, the link to Q alerts. Your Q alert, are you ready for the military to decide what groceries you can buy and eat? And I'll tell you something. We're seeing that now, here in the Northeast, not in the Middle Atlantic where I'm at, but in the Northeast, where the non-essential, foodstuffs or non-essential items are being roped off of stores, individual stores, and even some, groceries, which you could call groceries, are being said to be off limits, which is kind of really bizarre given what we're going through. So I would urge everyone to go to the Q alerts for the 8th of April. That would be yesterday, and read the one about the military. Anything more to say on that? Because that's really disturbing.
It is disturbing. You're eating yesterday's harvest, and did you notice Target and Walmart said that seeds are not essential?
Yes.
Of course they're not essential, because they don't expect you to be alive. They don't want you alive, ladies and gentlemen. How incredibly – got to choose my words carefully, Doug. How insanely ludicrous is that statement, that seeds are not important to life? Now you're watching, Doug, the full velvet, or the hidden hand used to be in a velvet glove. Now it's coming out, and it's the gnarled claw-like hell, claws of hell. The food lockdown is becoming so dangerous and so perilous that here's what's going to happen when people hit the streets. In that alert that I put up, people don't understand that everybody in the food chain has the ability to infect whatever portion of that food chain. Are you ready for the military to decide what groceries you can buy and eat? That's probably one of the most important things. I did not write that, okay? What is coming from this is that, look at the, here's the most amazing thing. I never knew this, Doug, until my source gave this to me. 50% of all food in the United States goes into restaurants, from fast food restaurants, from chains. A lot of people eat at chains, to the finest restaurants. Now that we have the restaurant shut down, except for takeout, they all have an equilibrium of what's going out on the plate, what's being plated or packaged. They have to have it coming in from the back. There is none of that happening. Imagine how many people in the inner cities who are used to being able to eat, what happens when there is no food? This is the biggest crisis that's pending. This is a sort of Damocles, and it's the sort of Damocles is just that pending thing that's holding over your head. And the thing that I think that is problematic for Jesus, when a nation forgets God, there first comes a famine for the word of God. The puke pits, and that's what they were. They were vomitoriums. They weren't places where the house of prayer, where God said, my house will be a house of prayer, call a house of prayer. But the puke pits produced too much vomit. And vomit is no life, and it just spews out. You know, and I, like you and I've talked about, the least favorite thing of anybody is having to clean up another human's vomit, or let alone their own, because it makes you gag, even the smell of it. But people don't equate the fact that there was a famine in the pulpits of America that translated out into the churches of America, that took away from the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ, that took away from the presence of the Holy Spirit, that took away from the need for mankind to be redeemed, that took away from the miraculous intervention and power of God in Christians' lives, and left the sheep in a position vulnerable for slaughter. Hey, I'm not a wolf fan. I don't like them in the woods. Oh, you don't know. They're just such friendly creatures. If you watch, ladies and gentlemen, and I will be seeing it in the next weekend as I go do my thing in Yellowstone Park, when you watch a wolf kill, the wolves usually attack the bison from their hindquarters. Then, while the bison is in effect lame, can't walk, can't get away, they eat it alive. And, Doug, that is a pretty horrific sight and a pretty horrific illustration to ponder. And it can take days for it to die, the bison. So, you know, the wolf pack, and here's the deal. There are wolves all over America who have led the sheep to the slaughter. And I'm praying with all my ability to pray, one man, if one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000, and you're doing the same thing, to inform people the lateness of the hour. See, they can gripe, they can complain, they can blaspheme, they can do whatever they want. But when they have to eat the bitterness of the gall, what comes out of their own stomach when there's no food, and just the stomach acid and the vile, wretched nature of their lack of concern for their fellow humans and their only concern for the destruction of anybody that might be telling them, hey, there's another way, don't die. We will live, and I put it up, now is the most important time in the world to remember. I think one of my broadcasts the other day, I said, only Jesus can get us through the days that are immediately upon us. Now, if you want to roll over and accept the mark of the beast, be damned, go to hell, that's another story. But for those who want to stand and ask the Lord to help us to stand, I don't believe any of us can stand without the power of God in the days we're coming into.
Amen.
Because Jesus said there's never been a time like it. So, you know, I guess this food thing, in my opinion, it is the number one thing. And I'll tell you this, Christians will sell their rebirth rights for food just like Esau sold his inherited birthright for food. I hope people understand what I just said.
You know, we can see that in the evolution of the mayoral edicts, like Garcetti from Los Angeles about snitches. You can see the clampdown of other mayors, other county executives and state governors saying, hey, turn in your neighbor if they are doing this or that, whatever, you know, whatever the flavor of that moment is. And it's not a very big leap to turn in your neighbor for that church service, that gathering that they're having in at their home, or that prayer meeting, or that, hey, did you know they've got a Bible service going on? You know, it's not that far. The evolution cycle is very short to get to that point. And so for those listening who are not believing and who haven't believed for years or even decades of what Steve Quayle has been saying and has been warning, we're here now. Or we're practically there now. And you know, I'm amazed, Steve, at how many people are unable to tolerate a 2-week self-quarantine, whatever kind of thing. They're going nuts. They're not able to tolerate this. How in the world are they going to tolerate when things get really bad? You know, and Christians, self-proclaimed Christians as well, nothing, and I'm not picking on anyone. I'm just saying we have to be tough in this fight. We have to stand up, don't we? I mean, isn't our duty to say, no, man, no, we're not going to allow this. I mean, what do we do, Steve? How do we fight against this tyranny? Or is it prophetically impossible to do so?
Well, first of all, we're commanded to resist evil, even to the shedding of our blood. That's in the book of Hebrews. The Bible also says, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You may not agree with the pastors that are saying we're going to hold church service, or the woman, God bless her, said, I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. This doesn't scare me. But unfortunately, Doug, for the majority of claimants to Christianity, they will be the ones to turn over their brethren. Remember this, it was the Pharisees and Sadducees that demanded Jesus' death. Even their high priest said it's the benefit of the whole nation if this man dies. You know what he's saying? Our religious institutions are more important than even this man, Jesus, who fulfills the prophecies. But guess what, Doug? They never want to relinquish control of their kingdom to God's kingdom. I had people pray the Lord's Prayer the other day on the air, and I was reminded how much I need to go back to praying that every day, because it's deliver me from the evil. It says evil, but evil won. And you know, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread is going to come by the hand of man. Everything we've known. Now, here's something that's important for me to really make this point. Everything we have known and been blessed with as a Christian nation that at least acknowledged God. I don't mean everybody was a Christian in the nation, but as a God-conscious nation that used to have even on our money in God we trust. And I mean the real God we trust. I don't mean in money is God. I'm saying that we used to have a star-spangled banner. We used to have a sense of pride. We allowed the bastards from hell. Now, for all you so easily offended that word will offend you, a bastard is a word that God used in the book of Enoch, also used in the New Testament, not in the same sense, but that the bastards were the unholy offspring of fallen angels and earth women. God said, bring forth the bastards and slay me before them. Slay them before me, God speaking. So unfortunately, Doug, we've got a lot of bastard offspring of some real evil entities. And all you have to look at is the diminishing of biblical Christianity, which used to be at least the genre of the country, now being poo-pooed. And I got to tell you something about Finks, okay? Finks are them. The tattletale mentality was brought to this country by Marcus Wolf and Yevgeny Primakov years ago. I forget how many years ago, probably 25 years ago. Everybody acknowledged that the Stasi, the East German secret police, had one of the best intel gathering organizations in the world, because everybody was a spy. A spied on B, B spied on C, C spied on A and B, and down the line. The fact that American Christians would get on their phone, spelled F-O-N-E-S, I gotta just leave it at that. They get on their phones and tell on their neighbor that a father's playing T-ball with his children in the yard, and some ingrate entity obeying an inane law. Somebody, I'm gonna tell you this, you guys. We know from Dimitri Dudum and others, people who have seen the coming civil war, there's going to be an event. Doug, I don't know yet. If the Lord told me, I would tell everybody. Because, again, there's coming an event that's going to kick off the war. You know, it doesn't take anybody to be a rocket scientist to know that you're not being told the truth on any of the mainstream networks, because those are, in my opinion, they're accomplices to MSM. In my world, when I see that as mainstream murderers. Because the mainstream murderers have always identified those of you who don't believe in vaccinations as being the cause, just like Nero did blame the Christians for the sacking of Rome. Some people don't believe that Nero fiddled and blah, blah, blah. I could care less about the story, but I saw the crucifixion. I saw the historic accounts. I've read the accounts of the Christians being thrown to the lions. Guess what? The difference between the Christians in those days and the Christians in these days, those guys knew, our brethren knew to stay away from the lions and knew to stay away from those that betray them. In this day and age, we yield to the lions and ultimately give our power unto the beast that's going to destroy us, the clergy response teams. If you live, go near, or have belonged to a clergy response team church, flee for your lives. Flee for your lives. Do you really think clergy response team church members are going to say, you know what, Doug and Steve weren't here last Sunday, and they weren't there last Sunday. I've heard rumors that they may have started an underground church. Diddling, diddling, diddling. Yes, Mr. Tattletale Central, I'd like to report Doug Hagman and Steve Quayle. I know they're up to no good. I've been watching them, and they just really, they have suspicious behavior. Got Daniel thrown in the lion's den, didn't it?
Absolutely. Thanks, didn't anybody? Yeah.
Look at the book of Daniel. Who got Daniel thrown in the lion's den? The Finks. Not Sphinx, but Finks. F-I-N-K-S. And the Finks are present through the entire body. So here's what I'm saying. You need, I need, we need having been the lack of discerning person that I have been, I only take credit for my lack of discernment and some of the pathetically, that's a better word, pathetically poor choices I've made in aligning myself with people, and fellow radio hosts and, you know, hostesses. Those mistakes I've made, I can't take them back. I can give them over to God and then go on. But you know, Doug, it's one thing. You and I and others will all stand individually before Jesus. And John, I've preached on that before. When John leaned over, I'm sorry, Peter leaned over to Jesus and asked Peter, Peter asking Jesus, what are you going to do with John? Jesus rebuked him and said, that's not your business, Peter. What I do with John is no concern to yours, but just do what I've asked you to do. And see, Doug, everybody in Christianity has, to a large extent, not everybody, the majority, have been involved in everyone else's business, so they have no clue of what God's business is, and they have no mindset to care more about their personal stand before the Lord. It's a lack of accountability and responsibility to the living God that will cause they who used to claim themselves to be Christian to give their brethren up to death.
You know,
is that enough?
Boy, I'll tell you what, that nails it. And I'm not amazed. I guess I'm saddened by by a couple of things. I'm saddened by those people that have the voice amplification through their platform, not talking about the real spiritual battle, not talking about Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and the only way that we can get out, or the only way for our salvation. We spend a lot of time immersed in research, but not an equivalent amount of time in the spiritual aspect of things. And I'm also saddened too about the, about what's happening with other hosts, with people on the internet, with websites who have taken and are exacerbating or trying to divide the Christians. It just, to me, you know, if you and I can agree, and look, if you and I can agree that there's only one way to heaven, there's only one way to salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ, I think everything else is kind of trivial, relatively speaking. Now, am I right on that, or is that maybe?
I think somebody once said, we as Christians major in the minors and minor in the majors. We don't see the nature of the battle. We don't understand the enemy. And the devil's smart. He just turns Christians on each other because the devil knows that the appetite of most is for gossip and not for prayer. Think about
true.
That. That's a power statement. The devil knows that gossip comes much more easier to a fallen nature than the truth, than preaching the truth. And I said, when Jesus was taken out of the equation, that pretty much should have told you everything. And you know, Doug, Jesus said there's never been a time like it, nor would be again. And we're seeing that. And I think I want to do away with one fallacy. If you do not believe in the lateness of the hour, and you think you're going to get out of here before your tummy growls, outside of death, I think you're deceived beyond my ability to describe. And I think that's a great title for, I think I'll use it, Deception Beyond Description. Because in order to describe deception, you have to put in a framework of what truth is versus what truth isn't. So 1-800-DIAL-A-THINK, you know, or 1-800-RAT-ON-YOUR-NEIGHBOR. There's a reason they call it rats. And people will sell people into death for another peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a jar of peanut butter, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
Remember, I want to make sure I got it right, but Esau sold his birthright to Jacob. The Christians will sell their birthright, and I'm talking about their secondary birthright, for something to eat. My prayer is, and I'm praying this right now, Doug, I said, Lord, I don't know what manna tastes like, but I'm asking you to help me to lose my appetite for the things I like. You know, I guess what do I like that I really like a lot? I don't know what my favorite thing is, you know, but whatever food I eat, I'm going to have to learn that that's in the past. Here's something else I think that people need to be warned about. And I think this is a true word. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The day normal, you heard me say that, the word normal will never be used again. And now I see people picking that up all across the, you know, internet. Fine. And Daisy Luther, who's done a great job in saying, and it won't go back there. There is this endless, mindless hope that sometime that in 2 weeks, everything will be normal and I'll be able to go back to my lifestyle. It's over. Business as usual is over. Most business is over as usual. But the point is that now we have to understand something. Either God will supply our needs or the state will. The state will not supply our needs without demanding we bow down and worship Lucifer. The state will step back out of its position of worship and allow the fullness of Lucifer to come forward at the correct time. But primarily, Doug, this is the bottom line. Are we going to worship Nero? Are we going to worship Jesus? Are we going to be basically, and again, are we going to look to God to supply all our needs? Are we going to think, well, you know, I can just go to the grocery store? It's like a power outage. What's the first thing most people do when the power goes out in their house? It's by repetition. You go to the wall or wherever your light switch is and you try and turn it on, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
No, that just happened to me the other day. And I went, man, am I a creature of habit. And you know the power's out. Here's the key. You know the power's out, but you keep flipping switches, hoping that the power will come on because you're trained that way.
Yep.
We're trained to go to our bathroom sink or our kitchen sink, turn the little knob deals, you know, and water comes out, pure water. What happens when that doesn't happen? What happens? See, everything. Here's how, oh, God, help me to say this, correct? How do you tell people everything they've taken for granted will be taken from them? Wow. That's the only way I can say it. Everything you've taken for granted will be taken from you at some point. Is that negative? You bet that's negative. Jesus said it would never, there's never been anything like it. How about people have been refugees? How about China telling you point blank they're going to kill your whole country, men, women, and children, and the same dumbass people in the United States not recognizing, hey, maybe this whole Wuhan virus meat market, you know, the only wet meat market's going to be, it's going to be when they flush your sorry bottoms down a drain from some, you know, disease that when it turns to Ebola or you're coughing out your insides. And that's the third version, Doug. The third bioweapon will be a hemorrhagic slash a rabies type combination. So, you know, I can get, quote, somebody said, well, wow, you were really wound up. I said, evidently not, because a lot of the mainsprings haven't gotten it yet, you know. And the thing that is critical is that how much more? Have you ever asked yourself this? And this is not for reflection on the air necessarily, but you got to say, Lord, how many people are really listening? Yes. And I guess we only know that in eternity, but I guess if people are looking at the hourglass behind me right there, or the lion. And I love that lion. I've always loved the Leroy Neiman style approach to kind of abstract painting, bright colors, you know. I love it. And that lion is just an amazing lion. The problem is the lion of the tribe of Judah, people don't understand that there's no room for lion, L-Y-I-N-G, to the lion of Judah.
Amen.
So people have got to remember this, that they won't believe the word of God. They won't listen to his people speaking. I've asked this question of the Lord one time. The Lord gave me the answer. I said, why don't your people pay attention, Lord? Why don't I? And he said, no word of God spoken by a man of God is ever received by the people of God at the time it's spoken. You cannot argue with that statement. And then bottom line is, and then Jesus gave me the scripture, because I always want scripture for stuff. And he said, look at the Jews. Which of the prophets did their fathers not kill? Truth tellers must be murdered because lie embracers don't want to deal with the eternal hell and damnation. This is what Satan's promising everybody right now through transhumanism. He's promising you shall never die. You shall be as gods, your pleasures, nothing that you desire will be withheld from you. And Doug, right now we've got a nation that was once the envy of the world. We're turning into a hissing in the nostrils of the nations around us. We're being dictated to by powers beyond our understanding, both invisible and visible powers. The country you once knew and I once knew and we loved, Constitution, Bill of Rights, it's gone, brethren. It's gone. Yeah. And freedom that is given away is very hard to fight for, to have it return in any way. And if you really believe these are the end of days like I do, not the end of the world, but the end of the age that Jesus spoke about, then you'd be living a whole different way. And Doug, for all the years that I was in the prep business, 35 years, I never told a person to run and hoard anything. I basically said gradual accumulation. And buy and prepare, buy and prepare. Noah didn't build his ark overnight. Everybody's trying to build theirs, you know, over a weekend. It won't work. And now, because of that panic running, and again, please, ladies and gentlemen, go to my website, stevequayle.com, in the alerts that Doug mentioned, that Eric put up on the screen, and read that whole food issue. By the way, Doug, it was interesting to me, too, that people are emailing me. I'm sure they're emailing you too, probably the same people, some of them. But they're all reporting now, gee, our aisles are being closed off. Gee, there's so little. And some dictatorial son of hell in a squirrel mart, we'll just call it that, giving people orders, stand in line, don't get too close, blah, 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 blah. Some pissant 10-hour-a-day guy with that authority, the most dangerous people in the world will be pissants with a little authority, and they will exercise life and death over you. Hello? Yes, this is Myrtle Swanson, and I live next to that crazy guy, and I'm telling you, something's going on, just something's going on. You see what I'm saying, Doug?
Amen, Bates, brother. Stink. I do.
Bates stink. Stinking thinks.
Yep, yep. And you crack me up because it's surreal to go into one of the big box stores and to hear on the intercom, maintain distance of 6 feet. Or when you're coming in, they limit the number of people that come in. Or they've got red tape on the floor, or you stand here on the floor, actual words, you know, stand here. It's a new world. And if people think those are going to be gone, you know, midsummer, I don't think so. They're here to stay and it's only going to get worse and worse. And, I want to thank you too. You've got on your website order two books, get one free. That's still in progress, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
And they buy two books and they get the third one free. My goal, Doug, is to get every book that I've written into the hands of people, because I know, look, my days are numbered, you know, and you and I have talked up, you know, but Christian books, ladies and gentlemen, that's why they wanted everything on electronic format. And that's why I refuse to put my books on electronic format. I want Jesus, the premise of the promise. I want Midnight Strikes. Every single person listening to this broadcast worldwide needs to read Midnight Strikes. If they want to download Cascadia, the big one, because shipping overseas costs too much, just go on my website and there's a link there, the DVD cover, and you can watch it, you know, video on demand. And I want to share something. If you want to understand the coolest animal, in my opinion, in the world, the elephant is, because the elephant exemplifies everything as beautiful and majestic about family and love and tears and true honoring the dead and honoring their loved ones. We don't do anything. We butcher our young and we send the old people to die or let them die horrible deaths. So please, ladies and gentlemen, understand this. We are out of time. And the most important thing I've ever written in my entire life is Jesus, the premise of the promise. Amen. As I stated, Doug, I've gotten calls and emails from all over the world, people saying, thank you. You made it easy. And I said, God made it easy for me. How dare I complicate it for anybody else?
And there it is. What a way to end this. Jesus is the premise of the promise. Folks, if you don't have it, that's an amazing book to get. Steve Quayle, really from the heart. Steve, I want to thank you so much for your gracious gift of time today. I know that you had a tight schedule and it was hard to sneak in. So thanks. I appreciate it. We'll be talking.
Thanks, Doug. Blessings. Right. Bye-bye. Blessings.
All right. That'll do it for me tonight, folks. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so very much for your belief and your trust in this platform, in me, Steve Quayle, myself, Eric the Tech. We're all a family. May God bless each and every one of you. Until tomorrow. Good night.